Steve Rosenblum, Mike Esposito on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And we are back on 670 The Score. A few programming notes for you. Marquee Sports Network premieres the latest episode of Cubs Flicks today after Cubs postgame coverage, featuring never-before-seen home movie film from the late 1920s through the late 1950s, including new footage of Cubs stars Ernie Banks, Hack Wilson, Gabby Hartnett, and more, narrated by Hall of Famer Pat Hughes. First episode premiered on opening day, the next one after Cubs baseball today. And this afternoon, the Cubs take on the Rays at Wrigley. Pregame at 12:45 with Zach. First pitch at 1:20 here on The Score in the Xfinity Cubs Radio Network.
We are. We're them. Steve Rosenblum and Mike Esposito with you up till 10 o'clock. Mark Rohde will take over. Actually, we'll have Mark Rohde here 9:40, 9:45. We'll do transition, Saturday suckage transition, wake and bake transition. I cannot imagine what the WB Club is going to be thinking when that happens.
When the three of us are all on at the same time?
Yeah. 312-644-6767 is the number. We gave it out for Cub fans and Sox fans to vent. We were going to do radiotherapy. This is part of our sports telehealth
network. That's it.
And we're doing that. Bulls fans, if you think your guy in charge is full of BS, you can let us know. 312-644-6767. Lou in Schiller Park, you're on The Score. Thank you.
Good
for
morning,
joining.
Gentlemen.
How are you,
Good
Lou?
Morning. I'm a little frustrated, but I'm okay. But I'm enjoying watering the grass in the sunshine. And what I'm frustrated about is when the Cubs got the lead, they go to the bullpen, and the bullpen gives up all the freaking runs, and the Cubs lose the game by the time I go to the bathroom.
Well, don't go to the bathroom.
Wait,
Lou,
why?
It's your fault for going to the bathroom.
Exactly. Why does Rossi have to pull the starter out? Why can't they just let the starter blow his own game? I don't understand.
Oh, so it's a matter of, let's see. David Ross, thank you for the call, Lou. So David Ross, do you want the bullpen to blow this, or do you want the extended starter to blow this?
Well, the answer to that, Lou, is in this day and age with starting pitchers, they don't go. I mean, it's a rarity when you see a complete game. It's a rarity when you see anything more than 100 pitches. Usually they don't even get to 100. In fact, a great example in a game the Cubs won the other night when Stroman threw 88 pitches through 8 innings, and in the ninth, Rossi put Mark Leiter out there, and they won the game. Leiter cruised through that ninth inning. But at 88 pitches, you would have thought, I mean, certainly old baseball, 1,000,000%, Stroman would have gone out for the ninth. In new baseball, Rossi said, and he said in the postgame, and this is logically correct based on what new baseball managers do, it was the fourth time through the lineup, because it was the top of the Mets order that night, and he didn't want Stroman to go out for a fourth time against those guys, so he put in Leiter. He liked the splits better against Leiter, and that's what they do. And that is why, to answer Lou's specific question, that is why.
Okay. All right.
It doesn't mean you have to like it, but that's why.
I would encourage everyone to go look at the box score from when Juan Marichal faced Warren Spahn.
Oh, I love that. That's amazing.
And each of them threw like 250 pitches. And by the way, they're both in the Hall of Fame. There you go. All right. Joe, welcome to The Score.
Gents, happy Memorial Day. How are you?
Yeah, hey, we don't say happy Memorial Day because this day is solemn. It's a day of be thankful for people who gave their lives so we could be free and so we could rant and rave about the Cubs.
Yes, thankful for our... So I don't know about you, but I am hoping that this Carter Hawkins awful experiment comes to an end very soon. I mean, you can just name one after the other. Fulmer, Boxberger, Tyone, Suzuki, Tucker Barnhart, one after the other, after the other, after the other. This guy has missed, and he is wasting Ricketts' money. The only good thing is these people are on short-term contracts, but they're all lousy. I say we get rid of them. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Well, I appreciate the call, Joe. You missed Jamison Tyone. How is the Cubs pitch lab done with you?
He said Tyone. Oh, yeah.
You were just running through the list. I don't know if this says Suzuki was signed before he got here, wasn't he?
This is year three of Suzuki,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No. Year
soon
two.
To be
year two.
Kosuke Fukudomi.
I haven't given up on Suzuki, nor have I given up on Tyone. Listen, Tyone has been not good this season. We know this.
Thank you for clarifying.
Hey, listen, I pointed out earlier, they have not won a game in which he has started this year. And it's Memorial Day, obviously, as we sit here. That's bad. That's not a good stat. Forget about his record. The team has not won on a day when he has pitched. However, and I say that he is a veteran pitcher. He was really good for the Yankees last year. He's had a nice major league career thus far. So it's not...
It was the only thing Pittsburgh had, really.
He was, I want to say, the number two overall pick in the draft, whatever year it was when he came out. He was good for Pittsburgh. He's bounced around a bit. He was really good for the Yankees. And the Cubs just signed him to a four-year deal. So this is year one. So he is not going anywhere. I won't argue with you about the Barnhart thing, except my only rebuttal to that is, because you were getting rid of Contreras. They clearly didn't want, they didn't want to pay Contreras. Mm-hmm. They didn't think he was good behind the plate. I think they've been proven correct in that matter based on what's happened in St. Louis. They wanted to get better defensively behind the plate. They were going to sacrifice the offense for the defense. Well, you're certainly sacrificing the offense with Barnhart.
Yes, you are, but you're not. You got to play him a lot because you get quotes like this. When he caught Stroman, right? Stroman's brilliant game, and Stroman's sinker was working outstandingly well.
Oh, yeah.
And Tucker Barnhart
mm-hmm.
said, the sinker be sankin'.
It was sankin', yeah.
It was sankin'. The sinker be sankin'. That's like, how is that not an obvious shirt? How did that not make the shirt? The sinker be sankin'.
You may have just spoken it into existence, hopefully. Let's get that.
That's a really good country music, country song title, right?
Oh, yeah.
The sinker be sankin'?
It's a natural.
So we're talking about, so yesterday was, well, the Cubs sucked, the White Sox sucked. Yesterday was a birthday of a significant player, and it gives us a chance to relive a great moment. To bring it to you, and to bring it to you with a Hall of Fame announcer. Yesterday was the birthday of Kirk Gibson. So you know where this is going. And we're always happy to go there when Vin Scully is the guy on the open mic.
And look who's coming up. And all year long, answered the demands until he was physically unable to start tonight with two bad legs, the bad left hamstring and the swollen right knee. He's trying to catch lightning right now. 3-2 at the plate. High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
And as Kirk Gibson would make his way around the bases in the most unbelievable home run in the World Series, the 1988 World Series that shocked Oakland and the Dodgers would win the World Series, Vin Scully would say, in a season so improbable, the impossible has happened. He was just brilliant. And he spoke to that moment. And it was Kirk Gibson's birthday, and it's a chance to do that. That's still an unbelievable thing.
I think, and listen, if you think about it, and I'm 50 years old, I've watched baseball my whole life. If you asked me for my most memorable baseball moment, and you remove my personal, you know, Cubs things from when I was a kid or the World Series in 2016, right? If you remove my own fandom from it, like historically, baseball, the best, that is always the moment. The call, I remember literally where I was at, watching that on TV, hearing what we just heard. Probably the coolest, most improbable, fun baseball thing that a lot of us have witnessed, right?
And it was a moment that former Sox GM Ron Shuler came through the Oakland organization and said he would get angry. He would get livid if you told him the story the Dodgers told. Mel Didier was a scout. And Mel Didier is giving and going, there's pre-World Series meeting, the hitters meeting, and he says, left-handed hitters, Soch, Gibby. Eckersley gets you 3-2. He's coming with that back door. Look for it. That's what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened.
I've heard that story. Yep.
And Ron Shuler, who was with the A's, there's no way he could know that. There's just no way that's true. Ron Shuler is so limp. And then in the 38th round, he drafted his daughter for the White Sox. Played softball and ball. Anyways, yesterday was also the Diva's birthday.
Oh.
The Diva.
Happy birthday to the Diva.
Diva saw, she's having, you were talking about Taylor Swift, the Diva, and Aaron Rodgers at the Swiftie concert. Well, the Diva's a Swiftie. She's had quite a year, I got to tell you. She spent a week, actually she had quite a year in a week, where she got a new job at CNN, covering entertainment, writing the digital. She's a digital reporter for CNN.
Excellent.
Entertainment and culture. Then, to prove her greatness, she went online, and unlike everybody else, she got Taylor Swift tickets when they went on sale. And then she got proposed to.
What?
By a fine young man. Peyton is a fine young man. It's something you always wish for your kids. You just want them to, you hope you've given them confidence and enough love that they think so much of themselves, they will choose somebody who will love and respect them. That's where she is.
Good.
So she's getting married at the end of September. And the week finished with Ali and Peyton going to see Elton John's final two concerts at Dodger Stadium.
That's not a bad week.
Yeah, she had a week. She had a year in a week. It was her birthday.
Is her fiance a former NFL quarterback?
Fiance
probably
is,
named after the former NFL quarterback.
He's
right?
A nurse. He does good work.
I deal with a guy. This is a very random story, but I deal with a guy who lives in Tennessee, and his name is Peyton, spelled like Manning.
Uh huh.
And when I said something to him, I'm like, "Oh, I'm sure you get this all the time, Peyton Manning." Blah blah blah. He says, there's a million guys like me here with the same named Peyton. Yep.
So when the Diva got the job at CNN, I started following CNN. You get their news alerts and stuff like that. And I get this story. I get this about sologamy, which is not a word that just trips off the tongue.
No.
And what it is. What it's about is people marrying themselves. It is a it has become a growing.
Wait a second. Marry yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's a symbolic expression of self-love. It's accepting yourself. It's giving yourself grace, but also loving yourself, being your own best friend. It is you marry yourself. You can do it. And the story, the CNN story, this was the headline, the CNN story about people doing it. A woman did it, recited her vows to herself in a mirror. And there can be an officiant. There's not. Did you know Trash Panda's an officiant?
No.
Did you know that, Leo? That's what you have to look forward to. Leo Stodderher, our producer. Trash Panda is an officiant. He has conducted weddings, and they're legal.
That seems on brand. Like, I didn't know that, but I'm not surprised.
That's Trash Panda. Yeah, he could do that. He isn't. I mean, you can go in the interwebs and get a license, right? Universal Life Church or something like that.
I think a Batacola was marrying people at one point,
right, too. And he could do that. And he said that all he really has to say to make it legal is, are you here under duress? No duress. All right, sure. You're man and wife. He says he asked you, do you give your love? Do you love this person? He does that just for his own self, but he doesn't have to legally say that.
Okay.
Anyways, when I saw this headline of people getting, I immediately thought Dennis Rodman was ahead of the story. Do you know who Dennis Rodman is, Leo? Now, Leo's this fresh-faced.
I'm aware of who Dennis Rodman is.
Young whippersnapper.
You know who Dennis Rodman is?
Yes.
Yeah, why don't you explain? Share with the class your knowledge of Dennis Rodman.
He played for the Bulls in the 90s and was...
Is that all you know about?
No, he was kind of wacky and did some stuff, yeah.
And it would turn out, compared to what we're going to hear next segment, he was the saner of the two between Pippen and Rodman. But one of the things Rodman did was marry himself.
I remember this vividly. It was a huge thing down here on Michigan Avenue, was it not?
No. It was in Central Park in New York.
Oh, it was New York? I didn't remember that.
He was a regular with Howard Stern.
I knew that.
Dennis married himself in Central Park. He was the bride.
He wore a wedding
dress. There are pictures you can find. Yes, he wore a wedding dress. And Mimi, one of the stars from The Baton, you're going to have to Google that.
I kind of remember that, yeah.
She did the makeup. He did the makeup. They did the makeup, Mimi. And the bridesmaids were in tuxes. He married himself in this big, glorious procession of the carriage coming down, and Dennis married himself. And this was in 96. So Dennis Rodman was way... Now CNN's taking it seriously. Before, it was a spectacle. Now, I understand the need for this. We've become, you know, your mental health is important. And this is a way of reaffirming your support for yourself. Dennis was doing it to sell books.
Yes.
And the book was Bad as I Want to Be.
Yes.
And he would do anything to sell books. And he did.
He had his whole cottage industry to himself there back in the mid-90s. And this cracked me up. Thank you, 847 Texter. If you marry yourself, who gets custody of the kids when you divorce?
All right, we'll take a break. Dennis Rodman's one of his former teammates. You know who Scottie Pippen is, Leo? We're just testing Leo.
I know who Scottie Pippen is, yeah.
Scottie Pippen was not done being stupid. We're going to share that with you next. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Steve Rosenblum. Mike Esposito on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Are we playing 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon?
We can.
We were doing this during the break, and you've got like 2 degrees of Keith Hernandez and 3 degrees of... Hello, Newman.
Hello, Newman.
So share with the class what I learned.
So I was working the Cubs game Wednesday night.
Zach Zaidman.
I was Zach Zaidman. Zach was Pat. Ryan Dempster was Coom. We had a substitute booth due to various reasons Tuesday night and Wednesday night. Both Cub victories over the Mets, I should add.
In fact, they haven't won since guys left the booth.
Since they broke up the Zaidman Dempster Espo booth. The Cubs are 0-4.
They just traded. They got rid of all the good guys, all the people, all the broadcasters you love.
I was talking to my friend Brian, who works in the visiting TV booth, and he mentioned, and I got a good chuckle out of this, because the Mets TV analyst is Keith Hernandez. Wonderful baseball player, you know, borderline Hall of Famer, right? I mean, a really great baseball player, but better known these days. Mm-hmm. For his appearance on Seinfeld.
So now we're going to connect to Kevin.
Now we're going to connect. So
Kevin Bacon dots.
So Brian tells me, he's like, I've actually got a quick Kevin, but you know, 6 degrees. I don't even have to go 6 degrees because connection one, Keith Hernandez, who he was working with in the TV booth, who was connected to Wayne Knight, Newman on Seinfeld, who was in JFK with Kevin Bacon. Only 3 degrees was needed. Or were needed. Excuse me.
This is unbelievable.
There he is.
I still think,
and this is, listen, I am a long
Chip
time,
yep.
long time, lifelong baseball fan. I vividly remember Keith Hernandez as a Cardinal, as a Met, one of the great, I mean, that's why Seinfeld loves him, from the 86 Mets, right? From his Mets career. Mm-hmm. I still find it fascinating and funny that people forget how good Hernandez was at baseball, but they know him now because the episodes have been on for how many years, right? Mm-hmm. They know him way more now for his two episode guest appearance on Seinfeld than they do for his 15-year baseball career. Yeah. That just amuses me to no end.
Well, that was one of the charges Scottie Pippen made about Michael Jordan doing The Last Dance, which I found interesting. He's just trying to stay relevant. Maybe you think that, but you're a guy trying to stay relevant enough to sell bourbon or whatever you're trying to sell. And it may well be true, but I would think The Jordan brand, the Nike, I would think they're still the sneaker leader, right?
Wait, my 11-year-old, who has no business knowing any of the Jordan stuff, I mean, they all the kids still love Jordan, even though they've never, they were way born, way after they would have seen Jordan. Mm-hmm. They all still wear the Jordan stuff. They want the Jordan stuff.
Okay. That's Scotty. Again, we should not be surprised Scotty's an idiot, but we are trying to count the ways. We're trying to wrap our hands, wrap our arms around the many ways he could come off stupid. And we've done that earlier. He did an interview. He sat down with the, he was part of the Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast, Stacey King and Mark Schanowski. It's on the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. You can find it there. Subscribe where all you find, where you find all your apps, all your podcasts, and that's where the app is. And we played some of the stuff earlier, and he was talking about one of the things we played that is just astonishingly stupid was talking about how selfish Phil Jackson and Michael Jordan were. That's what he said in the last year, where the last dance was all about Michael saying, if Phil's not coaching, I'm not playing. And I know that to be true because I wrote that story a year before they started The Last Dance. Mm-hmm. And Jordan told me and only me, if Phil's not playing, if Phil's not coaching, I'm not playing, period. And Jerry Krause, and so Scotty thought that was selfish. The guy who refused to come into a game with 1.8 seconds left, playoff game against the Knicks in the stadium.
Playoffs?
Because the play wasn't called for him. But he's calling Jordan and Jackson selfish. The guy who admitted in The Last Dance that he wasn't going to have back surgery until the season started because he didn't want to bleep up his summer. And he's calling the coach and the best player in the game selfish. And he would also call, because this topic would come up, Stacey King, Mark Schanowski on Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast, the topic would come up about LeBron, Jordan, who's better? And here's Scotty on that.
LeBron will be the greatest statistical guy to ever play the game of basketball. And there's no comparison to him. None. So, does that make him the greatest player to ever play the game? I'll leave that out for debating because I don't believe that there's a great player because our game is a team game and one player can't do it. Like, I seen Michael Jordan play before I came to play with the Bulls. You guys seen him play. He's a horrible player. He was horrible to play with. He was all one-on-one. He's shooting bad shots. And all of a sudden, we become a team and we start winning. Everybody forgot who he was.
How horrible he was, huh? Yeah, everybody saw him score 63 points against Boston. He was the only guy on that team.
Well, so that's the thing, right? And I get, so Stacey came out after the fact and said, listen, take it into context. He wasn't saying Jordan was horrible. He was saying before he had a team around him, he was very individualist or whatever. He wasn't saying horrible player. And you kind of catch that in there with some undertone. I mean, I think the use of the word horrible there is not correct. Like, you don't say he was a horrible player. You could say he had to do everything because he was the only guy in those teams, right? On those teams before they had the core around him, before Pippen and Horace and Cartwright and
you guess name it, who right? didn't know how to win Scottie Pippen and Horace Grant? Guess who didn't know how to win until Jordan dragged you there?
Well, Jordan,
and by the
way,
for all the crapping on Jordan, something that Bulls fan, Leo, do you know who the New York Knicks are?
I might have heard of them once or twice. Okay.
The Bulls are playing the Knicks. It was in the early 90s when the Bulls were on their way to winning. There was a series where the Knicks really played. They were playing football and soccer.
Yep.
And it involves Xavier McDaniel. Xavier McDaniel just, they would all beat up Pippen. And Pippen had a knot on his head, courtesy of Xavier McDaniel. And there's Jordan going essentially bald head with Xavier McDaniel, letting him know and standing up for what he called his little brother.
Well, and I thank Patrick from Gage Park, because when we were talking about this earlier, I mentioned, and I had forgotten the quote, But from The Last Dance, where Jordan basically said, listen, this doesn't get done without Pippen. The quote is, and I think it's from Jordan's Hall of Fame speech, when people speak Michael Jordan, they should speak Scottie Pippen. It's a quote from maybe not his Hall of Fame speech, but from the actual miniseries, The Last Dance.
Scottie needs a friend. Try to keep
Come
him in
on, Scottie.
Scottie. Scottie also needs, of maybe all- he should marry himself. Or maybe this is a result. We had another texter. I'm sorry I forgot the number. I don't have it. It's way down there and technology scares me. But we did have a texter suggest maybe this is a result of the fact that one of Michael Jordan's sons was taken up with Scottie's ex-wife.
Saw that too. Mm-hmm.
So, and that could be it. That could be that could be your and one.
That would do it. I mean, come on. But listen, I mean, I just don't. You're a basketball Hall of Famer. You were on the 50 greatest players of all time, right? You're a 6-time champ. You made a ton of money. Why? I mean, you're the guy you're most associated with and the guy you owe most of your success to. Not that you weren't great in your own right, but you don't do it without him. He doesn't do it without you. Why would you go out there and say stuff like this? That's just stupid.
Maybe he's got something to sell. Maybe he's trying to sell product.
Maybe
he's trying to keep himself relevant the way he accuses Jordan of trying to stay relevant with The Last Dance.
I just don't get it. I mean, I get, you know, people.
You're dealing with, okay, here's your problem, Espo. And other people may have this problem too, and I voiced this. But I think confusing the emotional with the logical.
Yes. It's got to be.
It's an accident waiting to happen. Because you can't logically think, why would you say these things? So you come off sounding stupid. But emotionally, you can kind of understand howling at the moon and railing at the dying light. And you can understand why somebody does
emotionally,
that.
Sure.
I'm not. It's death of a salesman. It's Willie Loman. It's, respect must be paid. All right, well, it was already there, and we've moved on to other things, Scotty.
To the LeBron thing, though, and I get, like, Pippen is 100% correct when he says LeBron statistically will be the greatest player, statistically, the NBA has ever seen. And he's certainly in the team photo for greatest of all time players, right? He's also had, I mean, and this is to his credit, he has taken immaculate care of his body. He spends a ton of time and money and, you know, training time on his body. I think he's 20 years in, right? He wants to play with his son. At least that's what he always says, who is a college freshman next year, right?
Right. He's going to USC, one and done. What if the Cavaliers draft him?
Oh, boy. That would be fun, huh? Would LeBron be able to engineer some kind of, you have to make sure that he somehow ends up on the Lakers? Or like, let's say, and I know Bronny is a good high school player and he's committed to USC. So if he comes out after his freshman year and nobody drafts him because he's, you know, like a bench player at USC, the Lakers take him then and just put him on the team. Just,
somebody would draft him if only
just
it would
because,
be a chip.
Yeah,
it would
to get LeBron. Exactly.
Leverage. Yeah. You get LeBron or you get something for the team.
So if you want to play with your son, though, I mean, how do you engineer that? You can't unless.
Well, then he doesn't go to college. That's how you do that.
Well, he's going to college, though.
Right. Whatever rules there are to skirt, that'll be it. But what if he went to college and he comes out and...
AK, draft Bronny. There you go.
Yeah, right. So you brought... And then that would really be... Wouldn't that be so... Reinsdorfian?
That'd be very White Soxian. It'd be
But it happened with... Remember, Jerry Krause always wanted Robert Parrish, right? He finally got him when he couldn't move. Like, he couldn't get off the bench. He had to do it in shifts.
The Sox, though, and I say this, you know, all in good fun. The Sox, Roberto Alomar at the end of his career.
Ken Griffey Jr.
And I have a wonderful Ken Griffey Jr. story from when he was his brief time with the White Sox, which is funny only because it's Ken Griffey Jr. So I was covering, it was a Sunday game. It was late in the season, and it was the year, and I don't remember exactly what year, but I was covering the game for the station, and I was at the Sox game. We're sitting in the clubhouse Sunday morning before the game. It's an NFL Sunday, too. And I had to, it's one of those where you think in your head, I'm like, this is pretty odd that this is happening because I loved Ken Griffey Jr. as a player. So you're in there, you know, you're chit-chatting, you're getting your pregame interviews, whatever. And then after all the mics get turned off, you just kind of hang out there and wait to see if anything happens or you're waiting for whoever else to interview.
Yeah.
So Griffey starts talking to the group of us that are over there. You know, just small talk. We're watching the NFL pregame on the TV. And I had a fantasy football discussion with Ken Griffey Jr. about Brett Favre playing for the Jets. So that was the year Brett Favre was on the Jets. And I keep thinking in the back of my head, it's like, well, this is kind of weird. You know, I love Ken Griffey Jr. He's one of my favorite baseball players ever. And here I am talking to him about fantasy football. It was just weird and kind of cool. But
I have a fantasy football question about OTAs. Maybe you can answer it. Maybe you can't. Joey Ice, Frozen Guy, former Frozen Guy, my Trader Joe's, is ostensibly a White Sox fan. He's a basketball fan, but there's no reason to root for you. There's reason to hate both teams. He hates the Cubs because he's a White Sox fan, or was. So he fired the White Sox. He's going to fire the Bulls, and the Cubs were never. So he says, I'm ready for some football. And he was going to have fantasy football OTAs. Can you do that? Leo, do you play fantasy football?
I do play fantasy football, yeah.
Okay, can you have fantasy football OTAs? Can you like do your own mock drafts? Do you do it this time of year?
I'm sure some weirdos on the internet have figured out a way to do it with all the stuff out there, but there's probably a way.
There's already, and I haven't looked for them, but I just know from knowing, because I also have played fantasy football for a long time. There, you know, the old mock drafts or whatever, just like they do for the real draft, the fantasy mock drafts, I am certain, are out there already for the season that has yet to come. For the 2023 upcoming season.
You know,
even though OTAs are just
OTAs.
Over.
OTAs. Well, we'll ask Mark Grody that.
Who has he hired anyone? If he's fired the Sox and he's fired the Bulls, has he hired anyone?
It's football. It's ready for some football. 312 texture brought it. Okay, Griffey, Manny Ramirez, Andrew Jones, Omar Vizquel. Yeah, let's bring them all up. And boy, has he got Manny Ramirez, who is steroid user. You got Omar Vizquel, who is depraved. That's just great.
Jose Canseco. Yeah. Remember that? That was a end of season one.
But the idea of Griffey and Robert Chief were guys that in each of the respective Reinsdorf organizations that they craved, they needed to have these guys. And then all of the Alomars. I mean, it may have been Sandy Alomar. They may have brought him back to coach third base, too. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll talk OTAs with Mark Grody. It's Grody time, and we will do transition with him. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mike Esposito. We're Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Steve Rosenblum. Mike Esposito on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's been a hell of a morning, hasn't it?
It's getting a hell of a more.
Better.
More betterer.
Getting the band back together here.
Bears.
Bears.
We got the guy who says Bears. Bears. He is. He's a man following us. Here on this Score broadcast day on Memorial Day, your Memorial Day broadcast day, Rosenblum and Esposito will be done at 10. 10 to 12:45. Mark Grody will be here. Take you right up to Cubs pregame. And then following Cubs postgame, Gabe Ramirez. It'll be Cubs and Rays, and then the postgame, and then Gabe Ramirez until 8 p.m. Download the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Search 670 The Score and hit play. Bang! Exclamation point.
Bears.
Plus, Bears. You can find us on the smart speaker, too. Just tell your device to play 670 The Score, and then you'll hear Mark Grody. Hi, Mark.
Bears.
Bears.
What's up, guys?
How are you?
Happy Memorial Day. Or I actually, Steve, you said it correctly. I guess that's probably, I don't even know if inappropriate's the right word.
Not a good phrasing, right?
It's not the right way to for Happy Memorial Day. Maybe how about I hope your Memorial Day is sound.
Okay. All right.
It's good.
We did have a texture that said, thank you for saying that, because his grandfather, when somebody would say Happy Memorial Day, his grandfather, who was a veteran, would say, I'm not dead. And that's a really good point. That's an excellent point. I would take that into consideration. So that's why I said, we hope you observe Memorial Day however you do, and give thanks to people who allowed us to be free to argue about which team is crappier, the Cubs or the Sox.
Who had a worse loss yesterday?
I mean, yeah, well, okay, let's evaluate. Let's
I mean, it was just... Yeah, it was just
awful for both teams yesterday in terms of those losses, and the Reds just crushing the baseball over a three-day period against the Cubs. And then the Tigers, that sucked yesterday.
That was
that ninth inning, the Tigers' ninth, where Riley Green gets the triple off of Luis Robert, who went down on one knee to try to slide to get a ball, which was headed for the gap. It was an ill-advised mistake by Luis Robert. And then the Javier Baez grounder to Tim Anderson and whatever he was playing in. I mean, I guess there's a little bit of an excuse there. He was handcuffed on the play. Another run scores. And then, of course, Eric Haas with the sack fly to win it. So That just blew. And the reason that blew so badly was because of the earlier Gavin Sheets explosion. So I guess that was, wait, am I conflating my days? I think that was the Saturday. Mm-hmm. But you know, that's what it is. These days are running into each other. And that Sox game just blew yesterday. So did the Cubs game.
Yep.
Just blew.
And Mark, we were talking about earlier that the frustrating thing about this weekend for both teams. You know, Bruce and I, and inside the clubhouse on Saturday morning, we're taking the glass half full approach. You know, the Cubs had beaten the Mets a few games. They had just lost the series opener to the Reds, but it was Saturday morning, right? You're looking at the standings. The Cubs are right in it. They're 4.5, 5 out. Same with the Sox. They had been playing good baseball of late. You're like, listen, these divisions stink. Both teams are in it. Both teams are you know, playing well or had some good moments this week. So you're thinking, all right, glass half full. And then You get swept by the Reds, and then the White Sox, you know, you just mentioned it yesterday, and we hadn't even mentioned Dylan Cease, who had been one of the huge bright spots on this team, and, you know, this is a guy who has not found it yet this year.
You know what really brings me down, Espone? You mentioned the divisions, that the Cubs and Sox and their respective central divisions are both very much still alive, and I'm ready to ditch that. I'm almost ready. Because we've been doing that with the Sox since the entire year.
Yep.
Right. Not with the Cubs. Now we're doing the same thing with the Cubs because despite how horrible they've been recently, they are 5.5 games out of first place at 22-30 with nobody taking command of the division. That all sounds good. And there, I just said it. It might have sounded good to you, but to me, it's all BS. And it's kind of a loser's mentality when, well, we're not great, but look at the rest of the division. They kind of suck too. So I'm almost ready to stop saying that in parentheses to everybody, to stop saying that as a caveat, to stop saying that to give hope, because especially in the case of the White Sox, we just know something is wrong, and it goes beyond the bullpen. It goes beyond the core. It goes beyond the injuries. Well, I don't know how much more beyond it can go than those three things, but yeah, they are all issues, and it's time that we stop giving that. Or at least I think I'm going to stop giving that excuse, the divisions that they're in, because it just sounds loserish.
Well, we just started the show with that.
Oh,
we brought
it
up. No. What?
Sorry, I wasn't awake this morning. When did
you mean you weren't
today?
Listening at
You're
7 a.m.?
Come on. You have to pass a quiz in order to be able to do the 10 o'clock show after this. But we talked about both teams suck. They have just the horribleness that's involved with a rookie manager in the White Sox who looks like a rookie manager and sounds like a rookie manager, and nothing has changed as a team that's not ready to play every game, and bad defense and dumb base running, and they can't, their rotation seems to be shredded one way or another, and they can't stay healthy. And then you look at the Cubs and you go, well, the manager, the lineup, they really aren't playing good baseball, and we don't know. Jed's never won anything without Theo. David Ross has never won anything, period, as a manager. We don't know if he's good or not. And then you look at, well, Marcus Stroman's pitching like he should be traded. He's pitching well enough to get traded. And right, that's about it. And the bullpen's a disaster.
Oh.
And you look at all this and you go, wait, each team is a one-week winning streak away from being in first
place.
And
there it is.
Well, so we had Jim Carrey from Dumb and Dumber. So you're telling me there's a chance, and it's true, Mark.
Well, it is.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
There it is.
It is true. And if we look at the Cubs and the White Sox, which team, either or both or neither, is actually capable of that, of winning 7 or 8 games in a row, winning 10 of 12. Which of these two teams, and look, I mean, the Cubs schedule is a bear coming up.
Yeah, this
here.
Week
I mean,
this week is not going to be kind. This next 10 days to 2 weeks, whatever it is, Grota, you're 100% right, because after getting swept by the Reds, you have the best team in baseball coming into town, and then after that, you get a day off, but then the dreaded West Coast road trip.
And then you're going to end against the Yankees.
San Diego, yeah.
Where else? Right. Where else?
Aaron Espo? Judge against that bullpen. How you fix for that?
Espo's doing his what's coming up next segment on the postgame show right now.
That's it. Well, and seriously, Mark, and it's funny too, because, and I was jokingly telling Steve this earlier, I worked a few games this week. Pat and Ron were both off for various reasons, so we had the Zaidman, Dempster, Espo booth, and we were 2-0. The Cubs beat the Mets both days.
Nice. And Cubs and haven't won
we
since.
We will point out that they're 0-4 since then. So I don't know, maybe that had some. No, I'm kidding.
Okay, all right. I'll pass it along to Pat and Ron.
No,
it's a good one.
We kid. But the thing is because I literally, on the postgame show, you talk after those first two Mets games, and we were talking about, you know, the Cubs, they had a tough road trip against tough teams. They come home, they're playing good against a good team. Maybe this is the, you know, takeoff point for the season. And then, you know, that's why the Red series, in my mind, was so disappointing.
Yeah, it was. And some of what should have been expected is occurring. I mean, Steve mentioned the bullpen, and it, at least going into Sunday, it was ranked 26th with a 4.61 ERA. That has probably ballooned after Fulmer's fifth and Jeremiah Estrada's various giving up of hits. When you're not serious necessarily about winning or doing real damage, you don't go all out to put a bullpen together. And the Cubs have been almost proud to not have a closer on this team. And I'm not saying they should, but it's symbolic of a team that probably is about where you'd expect them to be. All things considered, they're 22-30. I don't even know if they're 8 games under 500 bad. I think they're a hovering right around 500 team, probably 2 or 3 yep. under. And a lot of it does depend on what happens at the trade deadline. If Marcus Stroman, you know, he does have the opt out, as Rosie mentioned. So are they gonna sell? We don't know at this point what the Cubs are thinking. But you know, those do remain the facts.
Yeah, the bullpen stuff is difficult too, Mark, because, you know, a lot of the peripherals, a lot of the metrics say the Cubs should be better than 22-30 record-wise. They've lost a lot of close games. They've lost a lot of one-run games. I don't think they've had a come from behind if they were trailing after 7. I think the stat is I don't think they've won this season. So in the games where they win, they're winning handily. In the games where they lose, they're losing tight ones. And a lot of that can fall right on that bullpen, like you said.
But I think they both have put themselves in a position to win the Victor Wembanyama lottery. I think we have to give them that, Mark.
Oh, no, they'll be dismissed in the first 10 seconds, just like the Chicago Bulls were.
What do you have today, Mark?
Well, here's what we got going down on the show today, boys. We will pick this baseball conversation up where we left off to begin the show today. Definitely going to get... What was that all about? Was that to pretend like you're listening to Mel while you're taking a sip of your coffee, Steve? What was going on there?
Marking it down.
Coffee here. He's pen in hand.
Oh, okay. I just heard like a mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay, is he still talking? Clay Harbor will be on with me at 11 a.m. to talk Bears and NFL. Bears. Clay Harbor, the Bears, the 9-year NFL veteran. You've heard him on The Score. I've loved listening to him, mm-hmm. and I want to pick his brain about the Bears for as long as he will let me. At 12 o'clock from the Marquee Sports Network, we will have Andy Martinez on. He is a writer for the Cubs, and he will continue to attempt to give us answers about this Cubs team and what they are and what they might look like by the end of this season. Cubs baseball at 12:45, the Cubs and the Rays, as I know that you guys have been talking about. And we'll get into all sorts of, we've got other Bears topics. I do want to talk about the Scottie Pippen stuff. And it's so cool that Liam Hendricks is coming back. I'm sure you guys touched on that.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But
that is your baseball highlight this season.
I mean, anytime we can say cancer free, those are two of the most important words in maybe in the world.
Yep.
Cancer free. And that's what Liam Hendricks is from a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So that is something to be celebrated and talked about. And hey, and then because we're just sports fans, guys, how the hell can Liam Hendricks help this team
now that
we're past the cancer? Get in there.
That's right.
And take care of business because Joe Kelly couldn't.
That'd be very Chicago to welcome Liam Hendricks back with a standing ovation today and have him come in, blow a save, and then you boo him.
No!
No. And then he'd say, I hate this place. And then it would be like, no, it's just the new rules that I hate. I hate the pitching clock rule. I hope you two guys have a blessed and reflectful Memorial Day today.
We are. We're going to reflect now on how we've gone over on the clock.
That's right.
So, no, you haven't.
Transition. We can't
go transition.
Over, right?
No, it's all good. It's all well. I'm gonna let you guys go, but it's all good. Stevie Sunshine, we are right on time, baby.
All right, you have a good show. Talk sportsy.
Enjoy, Mark.
I'm gonna talk sports. Bye, guys.
Okay.
Bye, see you, buddy.
We're gonna.
Bye.
We need to thank Leo Stadterher for sort of sitting there.
Thank you, Leo.
He played all the stuff we needed him to play. Thank Mark Potash from the Sun-Times, Paul Sullivan from the Tribune, Mike Esposito, thank you.
Thank you, Rosie. It's great to be here, as always.
And we need to thank Ryan Porth for making the mistake of putting us on the air. Mark Grody is next. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Steve Rosenblum. Mike Esposito on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's been a hell of a morning, hasn't it?
It's getting a hell of a more.
Better.
More betterer.
Getting the band back together here.
Bears. We got the guy who says Bears. Bears. He is. He's the man following us. Here on this Score broadcast day on Memorial Day. Your Memorial Day broadcast day, Rosenblum and Esposito, will be done at 10. 10 to 12:45. Mark Grody will be here. Take you right up to Cubs pregame. And then following Cubs postgame, Gabe Ramirez. It'll be Cubs and Rays, and then the postgame, and then Gabe Ramirez until 8 p.m. Download the Audacy app, AUDACY. Search 670 The Score and hit play. Bang! Exclamation point.
Bears.
Plus, you can find us on the smart speaker, too. Just tell your device to play 670 The Score, and then you'll hear Mark Grody. Hi, Mark.
Bears. What's up, guys?
How are you?
Happy Memorial Day. Steve, you said it correctly. I guess that's probably, I don't even know if inappropriate's the right word.
Not a good phrasing, right?
It's not the right way to, for Happy Memorial Day. Maybe how about, I hope your Memorial Day is sound.
Okay. All right.
It's good.
We did have a texter who said, thank you for saying that, because his grandfather, when somebody would say Happy Memorial Day, his grandfather, who was a veteran, would say, I'm not dead. And that's a really good point. That's an excellent point. I would take that into consideration. So that's why I said, we hope you observe Memorial Day however you do and give thanks to people who allowed us to be free to argue about which team is crappier, the Cubs or the Sox?
Who had a worse loss yesterday?
Let's evaluate. Let's.
I mean, it was just it was just awful for both teams yesterday in terms of those losses, and the Reds just crushing the baseball over a 3-day period against the Cubs, and then the Tigers. That sucked yesterday.
That
ninth inning, the Tigers' ninth, where Riley Green gets the triple off of Luis Robert, who went down on one knee to try to slide to get a ball, which was headed for the gap. It was an ill-advised mistake by Luis Robert. And then the Javier Baez grounder to Tim Anderson and whatever he was playing in. I guess there's a little bit of an excuse there. He was handcuffed on the play. Another run scores, and then, of course, Eric Haas with the sack fly to win it. So That just blew. And the reason that that blew so badly was because of the earlier Gavin Sheets explosion. So I guess that was, wait, am I conflating my days? I think that was the Saturday. Mm-hmm. But you know, that's what it is. These days are running into each other. And that Sox game just blew yesterday. So did the Cubs game.
Yep.
Just
well, blew. And Mark, we were talking about earlier that the frustrating thing about this weekend for both teams. You know, Bruce and I, and inside the clubhouse on Saturday morning, we're taking the glass half full approach. You know, the Cubs had beaten the Mets a few games. They had just lost the series opener to the Reds, but it was Saturday morning, right? You're looking at the standings. The Cubs are right in it. They're 4.5, 5 out. Same with the Sox. They had been playing good baseball of late. You're like, listen, these divisions stink. Both teams are in it. Both teams are you know, playing well or had some good moments this week. So you're thinking, all right, glass half full. And then You get swept by the Reds, and then the White Sox, you know, you just mentioned it yesterday, and we hadn't even mentioned Dylan Cease, who had been one of the huge bright spots on this team, and, you know, this is a guy who has not found it yet this year.
You know what really brings me down, Espo, and you mentioned the divisions, that the Cubs and Sox in their respective central divisions are both very much still alive, and I'm ready to ditch that. I'm almost ready. Because we've been doing that with the Sox since the entire year.
The entire thing, yep.
Right, not with the Cubs. Now we're doing the same thing with the Cubs because despite how horrible they've been recently, they are 5.5 games out of first place at 22-30 with nobody taking command of the division. That all sounds good, and there I just said it. It might have sounded good to you, but to me it's all BS, and it's kind of a loser's mentality when, well, we're not great, but look at the rest of the division. They kind of suck, too. So I'm almost ready to stop saying that in parentheses to everybody, to stop saying that as a caveat, to stop saying that to give hope, because especially in the case of the White Sox, we just know something is wrong, and it goes beyond the bullpen. It goes beyond the core. It goes beyond the injuries. Well, I don't know how much more beyond it can go than those three things, but yeah, they are all issues, and it's time that we stop giving that. Or at least I think I'm going to stop giving that excuse, the divisions that they're in, because it just sounds loserish.
Well, we just started the show with that.
Oh,
and
you
brought
did.
It up. No. What?
Sorry, I wasn't awake this morning. When did you
mean you weren't
today?
Listening at
You're
7 a.m.?
Come on, you have to pass a quiz in order to be able to do the 10 o'clock show after this. But we talked about both teams suck. They have just the horribleness that's involved with a rookie manager in the White Sox who looks like a rookie manager and sounds like a rookie manager, and nothing has changed as a team that's not ready to play every game, and bad defense and dumb base running, and they can't, their rotation seems to be shredded one way or another, and they can't stay healthy. And then you look at the Cubs and you go, well, the manager, the lineup, they really aren't playing good baseball, and we don't know. Jed's never won anything without Theo. David Ross has never won anything, period, as a manager. We don't know if he's good or not. And then you look at, well, Marcus Stroman's pitching like he should be traded. He's pitching well enough to get traded. And right, that's about it. And the bullpen's a disaster.
Oh.
And you look at all this and you go, wait, each team is a one-week winning streak away from being in first
place.
And
there it is.
Well, so we had Jim Carrey from Dumb and Dumber. So you're telling me there's a chance, and it's true, Mark.
Well, it is.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
There it is.
It is true. And if we look at the Cubs and the White Sox, which team, either or both or neither, is actually capable of that, of winning 7 or 8 games in a row, winning 10 of 12? Which of these two teams, and look, I mean, the Cubs' schedule is a bear coming up.
Yeah, this
here.
Week, I mean, this week is not going to be kind. This next 10 days to 2 weeks, whatever it is, Grota, you're 100% right, because after getting swept by the Reds, you have the best team in baseball coming into town, and then after that, you get a day off, but then the dreaded West Coast road trip.
And then you're going to end against the Yankees.
San Diego, yeah.
Where else? Right. Where else?
Aaron Espo? Judge against that bullpen. How you fix for that?
Espo's doing his what's coming up next segment on the postgame show right now.
That's it. Well, and seriously, Mark, and it's funny too, because, and I was jokingly telling Steve this earlier, I worked a few games this week Pat and Ron were both off for various reasons, so we had the Zaidman Dempster Espo booth, and we were 2-0. The Cubs beat the Mets both days.
Nice. And Cubs and haven't won
we
since.
We will point out that they're 0-4 since then. So I don't know. Maybe that had some. No, I'm kidding.
Okay. All right. I'll pass it along to Pat and Ron.
No.
It's a good one.
We kid. But the thing is because I literally on the postgame show, you talk after those first two Mets games, and we were talking about, you know, the Cubs, they had a tough road trip against tough teams. They come home. They're playing good against a good team. Maybe this is the, you know, takeoff point for the season. And then, you know, that's why the Red Series, in my mind, was so disappointing.
Yeah, it was. And some of what should have been expected is occurring. I mean, Steve mentioned the bullpen, and it, at least going into Sunday, it was ranked 26th with a 4.61 ERA. That has probably ballooned after Fulmer's fifth and Jeremiah Estrada's various giving up of hits. When you're not serious necessarily about winning or doing real damage, you don't go all out to put a bullpen together. And the Cubs have been almost proud to not have a closer on this team. And I'm not saying they should, but it's symbolic of a team that probably is about where you'd expect them to be. All things considered, they're 22-30. I don't even know if they're 8 games under 500 bad. I think they're a hovering right around 500 team, probably 2 or 3 under. And a lot of it does depend on what happens at the trade deadline. If Marcus Stroman, you know, he does have the opt out, as Rosie mentioned. So are they gonna sell? We don't know at this point what the Cubs are thinking. But you know, those do remain the facts.
Yeah, the bullpen stuff is difficult too, Mark, because, you know, a lot of the peripherals, a lot of the metrics say the Cubs should be better than 22-30 record wise. They've lost a lot of close games. They've lost a lot of one run games. I don't think they've had a come from behind after if they were trailing after 7. I think the stat is I don't think they've won this season. So in the games where they win, they're winning handily. In the games where they're losing tight ones, and a lot of that can fall right on that bullpen, like you said.
But I think they both have put themselves in a position to win the Victor Wembanyama lottery. I think we have to give them that, Mark.
Oh, no, they'll be dismissed in the first 10 seconds, just like the Chicago Bulls were.
What do you have today, Mark?
Well, here's what we got going down on the show today, boys. We will pick this baseball conversation up where we left off to begin the show today. Definitely going to get... What was that all about? Was that to pretend like you're listening to Mel while you're taking a sip of your coffee, Steve? What was going
I'm
on there?
Marking it
there's,
down.
There's no, co- there's no down. Coffee here. He's pen in hand.
Oh, okay. I just heard like a... Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay, is he still talking? Clay Harbor will be on with me at 11 a.m. to talk Bears and NFL. Bears. Clay Harbor, the Bears. The 9-year NFL veteran. You've heard him on The Score. I've loved listening to him, mm-hmm. and I want to pick his brain about the Bears for as long as he will let me. At 12 o'clock from the Marquee Sports Network, we will have Andy Martinez on. He is a writer for the Cubs, and he will continue to attempt to give us answers about this Cubs team and what they are and what they might look like by the end of this season. Cubs baseball at 12:45, the Cubs and the Rays, as I know that you guys have been talking about. And we'll get into all sorts of, we've got other Bears topics. I do want to talk about the Scottie Pippen stuff. And it's so cool that Liam Hendricks is coming back. I'm sure you guys touched on that.
Oh, yeah.
But the fact that
is your baseball highlight this season.
I mean, anytime we can say cancer free,
yep.
those are two of the most important words in maybe in the world.
Yep.
Cancer free. And that's what Liam Hendricks is from a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So that is something to be celebrated and talked about. And hey, and then because we're just sports fans, guys, how the hell can Liam Hendricks help this team
now that
we're past the cancer? Get in there.
That's right.
And take care of business because Joe Kelly couldn't.
That'd be very Chicago to welcome Liam Hendricks back with a standing ovation today and have him come in, blow a save, and then you boo him.
No!
No. And then he'd say, I hate this place. And then it would be like, no, it's just the new rules that I hate. I hate the pitching clock rule. I hope you two guys have a blessed and reflectful Memorial Day today.
We are. We're going to reflect now on how we've gone over on the clock.
That's so right.
No, you haven't. Yeah. This is transition.
We can't
go. It's transition.
Over, right?
No, it's all good. It's all well. I'm gonna let you guys go, but It's all good, Stevie Sunshine. We are right on time, baby.
All right. You have a good show. Talk sportsy.
Enjoy, okay. Mark.
I'm going to talk sports. Bye, guys.
Okay. Bye, see you, buddy.
We're going to. We need to thank Leo Stadaher for sort of sitting there.
Thank you, Leo.
He played all the stuff we needed him to play. Thank Mark Potash from the Sun-Times, Paul Sullivan from the Tribune, Mike Esposito. Thank you.
Thank you, Rosie. It's great to be here, as always.
And we need to thank Ryan Porth for making the mistake of putting us on the air. Mark Rohde is next. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.